Hello and welcome to the CEO Blind Spot Show, where leaders lead leaders. I'm your host, Birgit Camps, and today's guest is Jorrit Steins, who is the CEO of Channel Engine, a company that is the leading platform in connecting global e-commerce brands and retailers to marketplaces and online sales channels worldwide. In fact, Jorrit, I know that you are in over 195 countries. Welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Birgit. Looking forward to it. You have a great podcast.
Thank you. Well, when I did my research on you, I was like, how am I going to start with you? Because you've succeeded in many different areas, including kitesurfing. You speak several languages. You have figured out this online sales game, unlike a lot of companies that are struggling there. But, you know, I'm very interested in what you think are some of the reasons you've succeeded so well as a leader.
Thanks a lot. I think the multiple languages is relatively easy because I'm from the Netherlands and Dutch is not that useful in the rest of the world. But one of the languages I listed on LinkedIn is also e-commerce. And I think that's a big passion of mine since over 20 years because I've always been doing commercial things. And then the internet came up when I was early in university and internet and commercial things blend together very well. So I started with the e-commerce very early on. I think the first website I actually built was 1999. So super early in the game, and that slowly built onto what we are doing at the moment.
Yeah, but you started with a mechanical engineering degree. So tell me why that and what made you choose to get in this business and be a leader, which requires obviously people skills.
Yeah, true. So I do like technology. So I was always tinkering around with cars and mopeds and motorbikes. So when high school ended, I thought, well, what am I going to do now? And then mechanical engineering sounds interesting. And it's pre-internet phase. So I did some things with computers, but didn't want to go into computer science. And then during mechanical engineering, we started programming robots and CNC machines. The internet came up. So that all started colliding together and then made me venture into internet websites, internet businesses very, very early on. And I really love that way of being able to connect to a lot of people in an automated way. So that's how I started. And I've always been in contact with a lot of people. That's what is driving me building businesses, not just building a technology, but really working together with people, building something great, creating new things, but also learning every day. And I think that's what you really need as a leader. Continuously change yourself while the company is changing.
So how did you learn how to be a leader? I know you've been accused of being a serial entrepreneur, but how did you learn to be a leader? Did you have a mentor? Did you just figure it out as you went?
Figure it out as I went by making lots of mistakes along the way. And I think early on when I started the company, I didn't have many peers that I could learn from. So I was just trying it out, started the company, then started the company in parallel together with one of my customers. And doing that with a co-founder is very helpful because you get to learn from each other as long as you're super open and transparent. So in the beginning, we were responsible for everything together. That doesn't really work. So eventually we sat down, looked at our core competences, split roles, and that really drove the company further. But it's just learning by doing. And I think most important thing I've learned over time is being as genuine and transparent as possible. That helps on all aspects. I don't like that much different levels within the company. I had a very early on experience when I was doing the university. I did an internship in a company very early on where the managing director only wanted to speak to me because I did a master's in science. And then the rest of the people didn't have that degree. And I didn't like that split in a company. You really had the physical work floor. And then the next level were the engineers. And the next level was the director in his ivory tower. So I decided not to build a company like that. So everybody should be very approachable and really working together instead of having a very hierarchical structure.
Well, I read one of the quotes from one of the people that works for you. And the quote was, discover a company where values drive success. And then he said that the culture is deeply rooted in connection, empowerment, unity, growth, and ownership. And ideas are celebrated. So that is pretty amazing, right? You don't hear that a lot. And that was not an exception quote. You have lots of colleagues that work at your company that have said how wonderful it is to work there. And so I'm curious, you have over 200 colleagues from over 30 different nationalities. It's hard enough already to manage remote teams and then lots of
True.
different nationalities. So
True. I really like that quote. I haven't read it yet, so it's good to hear. But I think definitely when your company is growing or any company is growing, culture will shift because there are people from different countries, different cultures, different backgrounds, but the values must be the same. One of the important values, also for me personally, is being super transparent and open. But most importantly is avoiding politics and egos. And I think a lot of things go wrong in companies where egos are in play. And with egos, I mean the people that, you know, have a position and they keep all the information to themselves, not share it with others to become important. And I'm a big believer in a growth mindset. Everybody can learn and continuously develop. So if you share information with each other, help others grow, you will grow as well. So I'm super strict on getting the right people in and keeping the right people in. But also if we notice that somebody is too ego driven or too political, saying something to their leader and then something totally different to the people in their teams, then we just make sure they don't work in our company anymore. So being blessed with a lot of great people and great positive people that grow and learn continuously attract others as well. So that's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Our company, basically what we do is connecting companies to other marketplaces. But what I always say is we're not just connecting systems, we're connecting people. Because also at these marketplaces and at these companies, there are great people that we want to build a genuine connection with, because you have to do that together.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're connected because Tanya, who we both know, who was very impressed with how you handled yourself and what you were doing in the world. And I'm curious then, you seem to attract smart people with great values. Do you have a system that you do that with? What's your secret sauce there?
The secret sauce is making sure you hire the first right people that attract and fit your values. And that's positivity spreads out. And other people that fit that will automatically apply. So we have some amazing people that applied that were previously at a partner company or at customers that want to be part of this and this growth.
Yes. Yeah, so you have a lot of referral employees, so to speak, it sounds like.
Yes. Yes.
So that's more what you rely on than, for example, an assessment tool or your interview process.
It's both. Of course, while we were in hyperscale mode, so early 2022, we raised a 50 million Series B round, which gave us a lot of opportunity to grow. A little bit over the year, we went from 100 people to well over 200 people. So that's a massive challenge in the short time. So we also did vacancy ads, recruiting a lot of people. And there's so many thousand people applying, sometimes don't really fit the bill. So we had an amazing in-house recruitment team that helped out, external agency that helped out. And eventually, it's getting to know the person behind the person that's in front of you.
Yeah.
So when I do interviews myself, I would love to see the person and their passion themselves. Not just what they list on the resume, but for instance, if it's a developer, and nowadays I don't do these interviews anymore, but I always just say, what did you program for fun? And if you see these eyes light up and they tell about this project they did themselves in their spare time, then you know it's the right type of person, because in development, you need to continuously keep up with all the new developments. And if you don't love it, then you're not going to keep up. And that's the same for all the other roles. So people need to have that spark and the joy in their eye if they do this, because it's a lot of your awake time is spent in work. So if you don't love what you're doing, at least for 80% of the time, you're in the wrong job.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it sounds to me that you sure figured out a lot of ways to succeed as a leader. So can you tell me what was a moment that you had a blind spot or that you discovered something you were doing was not working?
Plenty over the years. So if you look at hiring decisions, there have been, while growing, listen to VCs as well, saying, well, this is the specific type of person you need in the next phase. And then my intuition said, no, hired that person anyway. And eventually we had to get her out of the company. So that's an interesting challenge. So just keep on relying on the intuition you have. That's super important. Other things I've learned over the years, in the beginning, especially as a young entrepreneur, I'm super curious, so I know a lot about a lot of topics. I had to learn to be the last to speak in meetings, because otherwise you don't learn new stuff. I've been doing that for many years, and it's super powerful, because otherwise you get people that repeat what you say, and you want to learn something new, because whatever you say, you already know. So it's better to learn first and then respond. But it's
yeah.
something I see a lot of entrepreneurs do as well, immediately respond. And it can be kind of hard if it's a meeting with eight people, right? So listen first without saying what you think. But it's very powerful because you need to know what's going on in the rest of the organization.
I am so glad you shared that. It's so, so powerful. And I am wondering, what was the moment that you realized this?
I read it somewhere many, many years ago, and then I started noticing how I respond in meetings, and I'm quick to respond to questions and ideas, and sometimes you need to take a step back. So I adjusted that behavior slowly, and then I saw that I was still doing it sometimes, so I have to consciously do it, be the last to speak, and also tell others, because otherwise, like, why is he so quiet? Well, that's on purpose.
Okay. Well,
especially when you start switching and as a leader, you're going to be the last to speak, then everybody's going to think, well, why isn't he talking while normally he's the first one to speak? So be very clear about that.
Yes. Well, then, you know, in your industry, I read that, you know, you've been through crisis and other companies have been through crisis, but during COVID, you did really well. So have you had a different kind of crisis? And what tips do you have for entrepreneurs how to make it through a crisis?
Yes, I love the saying of someone in my management team, Feike. He always says, never waste a good crisis. I've been in IT for a very long time, and something will go wrong. So if that happens, just make sure you improve stuff. And I'll tell you a story. When there was no cloud computing yet, so we had these physical servers, and the whole data center went down. But we also knew in a couple of weeks, we had to move these servers to a new data center. So actually, at that time, we just jumped in the car, drove to the data center, put the servers in the back of our car, and physically drove to another data center to get it up again. So that's never waste a good crisis. It's not going to happen now, but sometimes it's moving faster to the cloud, these kind of things. One of the crises I was thinking of, my previous company, like many retailers, back then was an e-commerce retail company, we almost ran out of cash. That happens. It's hard to fund back then. There was no good, were no good investors, and banks are the entities where you can borrow money when you can prove that you don't need it. So I remember being on holiday with my family and my co-founder calling me that all of a sudden we got a gift voucher order of a couple of hundred K. And it's like, that's good, because you get the money first and then you have to deliver the gift. So what we did later on, seeing that model, we launched a gift voucher company as well. And that funded a lot of our growth. So those are parts of not never wasting a good crisis.
Well said. So if leaders want to know more about you, they can go to channelengine.com, and you have a free PDF on your website. You also share what all the patterns are in the industry and how leaders can take advantage of the shifts on how to be in retail and stay ahead of the game. And they can also follow you on LinkedIn. But thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show and contribute to other leaders.
Yes, happy to do so. Thank you for your time.